So there are all these things really getting going, including in Coeur d'Alene, and something getting going in Coeur d'Alene tonight is the new show, the monthly show for the Art Spirit Gallery, and also that is the second Friday of the month, therefore the Coeur d'Alene Art Walk, art event. And I also want to quickly rush in here and say that because it was so close to the first of the year, the Spokane Art Walk, which is usually the first Friday of the month in a wonderful gentle person's agreement, got moved a week later. So there's art everywhere to be enjoyed in both cities. But right now we're going to go to Coeur d'Alene. And yes, planned for a long time, it was an annual event, which was a Harold Blaze show. And then just right at about the second last day of the year, Harold Blaze died. And so it all takes on a somewhat different aspect, but in some ways, maybe not. And I think that's what we're going to talk about. Blair Williams is the director and owner of the Art Spirit Gallery. Good morning, Blair.
Good morning, Vern.
And about how many, is there a number that's even been computed of how many Harold Blaze shows there have been at the Art Spirit Gallery in its history?
Oh, there have been 22.
Okay, that is a known fact. And and how many years has the Art Spirit Gallery been in?
We've been in existence. We just celebrated our 20th anniversary last July. So just a little over 20 years now.
Okay, so there we have it. So pretty much almost like clockwork, Harold Blaze show every year. And for several reasons. And let's start just with the very first one, that Harold Blaze has always been an effective show for you, by which you know that pieces are going to get sold. Let's start with the business.
On the business end of it, while we are mourning the death of a dear friend and a dear icon in our region, I can't help but tell you that we for 2 minutes said, what do we do next January? We're going to figure that out.
And, I think at this point we're going to ask Harold to comment on things for just a moment.
I know people who won't sell anything, and I was advised by a curator once that, you know, your blue period, your green period, or whatever you want to call it, that you could save one piece of that. Well, if I did that, I'd have starved. I'm like J.C. Penney. If you got it on the shelf, get it going. Get it out of here. We got art to sell, man.
There's a little context on it right there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we love selling his art. And mm-hmm. It's important to us also to make sure that we steward the pieces correctly and that we get them into the hands of many. About 5 years ago, Harold began to reach the level of, following, if you will, although he's had the following for decades, let's be honest. But at the gallery in particular, that we started getting many of folks who wanted to come in and buy the entire show out. Mm-hmm. And Harold and we all agreed that it's necessary to make sure that these works are shared. And so rules were implemented 6 years ago that consist of you may call in and put your name first in line on one piece and second in line on up to two more, and you must be here at a certain time. And if you haven't closed it out, then it goes to the next person in line. And really, that is in an attempt to, like I say, share the love that the Herald has created. And we witness it every single year when people come in and say to us, you know, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to get that one piece of Herald that is so important. This year, we had a woman who just last week came in and bought a small drawing. Now, it will be in the show, but, you know, it was a $50 drawing. And she started to cry and said, I'm between jobs, but it's important to me. I love his work so much that you've not only allowed me to be able to buy a piece, but made it affordable. So
nice. Blair Williams, owner of the Art Spirit Gallery, the show opening tonight at 5, the usual hours of 5 to 8 for the opening reception, and then the event tomorrow is at 11?
1 o'clock.
Oh, at 1 o'clock. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But as long as we're talking about people who fall in love with Harold's work, we have one right here, and that's Brandon Rudd, who lives in Seattle. He's the his company called Artistic Resources and Technology, which I think, first, good morning, Brandon.
Good morning, Bert. Thanks for having me.
And I think the name describes your company well, and it's nice when names actually tell the story.
And it's all started here in Spokane in 1996, and part of it was when we first met Harold as one of our artists to figure out how to help and market them to the larger world mm-hmm. outside of just this community. And we had some successes with that, but we've been in business now 21 years trying to keep that message going with a variety of artists and also other businesses, mm-hmm. of course. But the essence is, for Harold's purposes, like back in those days, in trying to take his work and put it in digital forms, that meant Harold got to touch digital. So we bought a computer specifically for him to start playing with. This was back in 96, 97. And for those that know Harold, imagine day one teaching him how to use a computer, because all he wanted to do, of course, was start drawing on it, which was fun. But there was the elementary things like turning it on and off, saving those files that he made, and he made a lot of them. So it's just kind of neat that our business grew with what later he started using as a regular tool to create some of his designs and have a little fun with. And later those were applied to some of the enamels that I've seen and things like that.
Yeah, because parenthetically, Harold and his relationship with rules was what you were, and non-relationship with rules was what you were referring to. The famous story that when the downtown fountain was built, and very, very early in the morning when he could get away with it, he ran through it naked just because he thought it needed to be dedicated in that particular
properly.
Yes.
Yeah, way. But go ahead and talk now about the person you met and the impact that he had on you when you started a relationship with Harold.
Well, so when I met Harold, and I've known him via family contacts back from the 70s, but in essence, the personal side was more in a business context. Certainly appreciated his work, and later, obviously, I think I'm the number one fan of it in a way, selfishly. But it was how Harold had to walk through the various processes to get a piece of art even permissioned, and for those various committees and the craziness of people that actually had input on it. And then going through to the city side, whether Spokane, of course, but all the other cities that he had to do, those governmental restrictions, and watching him pull his hair out. And, you know, he'd say, hey, kid, just with whatever you're doing, you know, keep fighting through it, because they're always going to say no. Because a lot of what we were doing those days was kind of pushing the void with how to get digital in spots. And so I'd go over to the house, and Rosemary would be in the kitchen with us as we're sitting at the table, or maybe we'd be out in the studio. But he was just very thoughtful of how hard it was for what he did in the context of process. And I think that's something that's often missed. Other than we have some documents that, you know, that in a book that we're going to put out, they'll share some of his thought pattern on mm-hmm. how to go through those things. But at the end of the day, he was like so very helpful of like, whatever you guys are doing, this is in the late 90s, like, do it, make it happen, go bold, go big. And so my business partner and I, Martin McCann, we did it. And with Harold's help, mm-hmm. it was great.
Well, I remember his famous adage: when you go to a new town, find out who makes the rules and who enforces them.
Yep.
And Harold's adage is, and I guess a little bit will in this book there'll probably a few of them will slide in. But Harold was a gentleman with plenty of adages.
Yes, he probably didn't share them with the committee side of the world, but he did when he got home and or with his friends.
Yeah, spending time with not only Blair Williams from the Art Spirit Gallery, but Brandon Rudd, who is here for the events of this weekend, and who has created this book. Let's double the write down on this unique book. What do we call the name of this book, or what is it going to be called?
A little more history on it is, in 2 years, 3 years ago, Harold had a show with Steve Gibbs, the owner at the time of the Art Spirit, and Harold had brought in a bunch of his old journals, everything from the 50s forward, and he was just going to offer them up for sale as like, here's a whole book.
And we were like, no.
Steve and Blair are like, you got to be kidding. We got to do something else. So they originally were going to scan them, and I was just randomly in town and said, well, let's archive this properly. So I offered to just scan them for free, high res, and by scanning them, we started looking at what these were, and they were really the story, on and off at times of years of him, you know, the art process, camping adventures with friends, including local artists here in town, trips to Australia, random drawings and messages that he put for his various kids in separate books. Mm-hmm. So what we had to do is unpack all these various journals and come up with a story, of which last year we shared an initial draft of some of it with Harold, and we decided to call it Harold Belay's Certified. And it'll say that on the cover, and it doesn't mean certifiable, though some might think in a different way, but certified because the cover piece, to me, is his most famous piece, and it's his own enamel that he did on an appliance panel that has a picture of him that looks kind of like a passport with lots of official stamps on it that he made up in his language that he makes up, mm-hmm. of course. And that was his passport from fighting through all these processes of people say, you're not permitted to do this, you can't do that, you don't have the paperwork. That, I mean, was kind of his mantra piece. So that's why we put it as certified right on the cover. But, you know, it's about 200 pages. It'll be coffee table type book that'll be out in a few months and obviously available at the Art Spirit. But mm-hmm. it's an interesting read into Harold's mind and his family and friends through the mm-hmm. days.
Well, when you say read into Harold's mind, I think that's what we're all going to be doing for the coming forever, as we see his art not just in one or two pieces or a few downtown sculptures or something like that, but this amazing journey through Harold's mind, because behind his ridiculous facility at which things just came out of his fingers was the things that came in and out of his mind.
And that was part of being well-read, versed, crazy intelligent, and yet some of the videos you see of him, it's more like it's a madhouse of craziness. And then some of the interviews you've done with him in the past, you can also see that direct into the heart, true care and knowledge of something so pertinent that's happening in our real time. And he's always had that pulse, I think. And so some of the words in these pages show that a little more intimately at times. And then also just with the help of Rosemary through their lives, you got to think how important she was with everything mm-hmm. he did mm-hmm. and her putting up with him at times, likely. Mm-hmm. I think you'll have an interesting read when you see it.
And it's not unlike, there's a beautiful print out from his 80th anniversary that really shows the transgression or development of his language. And when you read through this book and you read through the journals and such, and you see what, just as Brandon was saying, what he was influenced by, whether it be what he was reading or studying or traveling or talking to people about, you can see when, you know, he was reading a lot of Eastern mythology, and you could see the language change. And then you could see the language start to change when he was really heavily into Egypt and all of those shapes and movements. And it's just such a beautiful thing to be able to watch someone's mind transgress.
Yep. And The other part of some of these journals, too, is he used them just as, you know, scratch pads to end up create what later became the big pieces that we see around town elements of. And he would often spend, you know, 100 pages in a journal just coming up with those designs. And then all of a sudden you go to the next page and they're all stacked perfectly. And it's a sculpture that's downtown for the public to see or you know, replicated in his enamels. So he actually had some process, too, of course, in this. But I think the neatest part was the ones to his kids where he each made them a journal. And it wasn't for like a someday to see, but rather a gift for them to know what their dad was doing and what was his mindset at the time.
Mm-hmm. And so spending time with Brendan Redd and Blair Williams, let's ask Harold's opinion on some of these art questions.
Ancient cultures had no word, and we've known this for a long time, for art. I mean, as something special. But they had a concept of making special. You know, that you have the time and you decorate mm-hmm. the things of your life. But nobody fusses over the good, bad, and different thing. I just love watching the show go in, and there's this Val down there, and Ben, they're just doing some great
jobs. The show at the museum that's opening.
Mm-hmm. But there's people put on these white gloves, and you know, they wanted to see a skiff I made this for craftsmanship. Well, my grandson and I just rolled it in the back of the truck and rolled it out without padding or anything, dropped it on the floor, and they were just sort of hysterical. You know, that I would scratch it. Well, I hope I wear the damn thing out before I'm dead. You know, it's not a work of art, but it's nice to be treated that way, and it's just a lovely, a crazy aspect of the art world that befuddles me. Yeah. I don't. There's nothing too precious in my life except my family. You know? I look at some of my stuff, and I, especially when it's well photographed, geez, I'm just as good as some of that stuff that appears in New York or magazine. Why isn't I get? Why aren't I getting a million instead of 100? You know? But I don't. I know I don't want that crowd. Around.
Yeah, but in the box score, it's. I think it's worth it. And let's face it. I mean, not only are people, you know, that admire you admiring you, they're maybe you've brought them right back to the right place that they're admiring art for the best reason.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I look at your life. I don't know. Years ago, Jim Kirshner, what makes Spokane Spokane? And I wrote in and just left a whole list. You and Aggie May and Kendall Feeney and. The piano lady, and all the people that chose to bloom where they were planted. And that's Bob and Joan Welch.
Sure.
He didn't put in all the names. I had about 50 of them. Well, the piano player. The one-handed piano player.
Oh, yeah, Arnie Carruthers.
Carruthers. Sure. Yeah. Jeez. And there's just a whole raft of people in this town that have chose to bloom where they're planted, and they've made it a better place.
Again, Harold's words. That was from 2010, when the Museum of Arts and Culture had a major show coming up on him. Back to Blair Williams and all of the shows, the 22 shows you've done, and it's it reminds me a little of my job doing classical music. In one way, I could just put anything on because it's all great and it's all fine, but you still have to make decisions. You still have to get some form and some tell a certain story with what you put up and how you put it up. Talk about some of the things that have gone through your minds putting this show together.
Well, you know, it's always a combination, first, of gathering the work, of the work that Harold makes available, and then the work that we're able to gather from the secondary market. And I'm working on that constantly. In fact, two pieces were just dropped off an hour ago. You know, that's just what I do. I think it was 2 years ago was one of the first shows in many years that we had pieces representing each and every decade of his work. And that was really spectacular for us because we felt like we got to showcase, again, the telling of the story and the changing of the mediums and the changing of the thoughts and the process from Harold's point of view. You know, but ultimately we have to work with what we have. You know, you never, it's not like you get to go out and pick and choose. I'd like one of those and six of those. And so I'm going to tell you, I put all of that on our curator. Now, remember that the gallery was founded by Steve Gibbs, who was the curator. He was the end-all, be-all, did everything. And when I was fortunate enough to take over the legacy, about 2 weeks before Steve was diagnosed, we had a young man walk in who was interested in curating. And we gave him the shot to assist Steve because Steve was having trouble lifting his arm. We didn't know why. Long story short, we have this young man who has an eye and can tell a story with Harold's works and can put them on the wall and on the pedestals in a way that just dance, not unlike music notes. I mean, you walk through our shows, and even we as staff will walk in the gallery after he's been hanging for a day and just pause. We'll stop at the front door and just take it in and begin to sometimes cry at the artistry of the hanging and of the placement of the show. And again, we've got that this time.
And so you've probably just in the practical thing had to move a lot of other things to the basement to really kind of clear out the gallery for the sheer quantity of Harold's show here.
Well, we do that every year. Yeah. I mean, every show, every month, show. Rather. Every month we take everything off the walls, patch and paint, and go again. But yes, this particular show, we stripped it a little cleaner than we normally do. You'll find in the upper gallery we are showcasing works by artists who have collaborated with Harold. Ken Spearing, mm-hmm. Steve Adams, Mel McCudden, et cetera, and really want to showcase those works. And it's a beautiful, clean, simple show, packed full of color and fun and all things Harold. But yes, there's lots of stuff in the basement always.
And speaking of the collaborators, describe the event you're doing on Saturday at 1.
Well, and I'd like to describe how it came to start. You know, Harold, in the final years, was often struggled to find words. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, when we had our informal artist talk the day after the opening, as we often do with our shows, it became more clear that it was uncomfortable, and we don't ever want anyone to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, for him, everyone was loving in the audience and just hang on every word that he has to say. But last year was the first year that we decided instead to put together a panel of people who have worked with Harold or been influenced or collaborated with, mm-hmm. and had Harold present, but the weight of the event was not upon him. And he still played a huge role and gave lots of beautiful stories. Tom Kundig was also in the audience and gave beautiful stories. So we're replicating that same event. And it was already on our books to do this. Mm. But we'll have a panel discussion on Saturday beginning at 1 with Ken Spearing, Alan Dodge, Mel McCudden, and Steve Adams and Brandon Rudd, who will be just sharing stories and talking about what his work meant to them, what his work meant to the communities that they have been a part of, and how we all look to carry his legacy forward as well.
Mm-hmm. So this is the, what's the exact, I did it my way.
I did it my way.
And that was the name that he chose, wasn't it?
It is a name that Rosemary and he chose. Yeah. Rosemary called me I was in the process of designing the postcard, and she called and said, "This is the title we'd like." And I said, "Great, perfect."
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the show, the opening tonight from 5 to 8, along with all of the I always forget what the names are. And Coeur d'Alene, do you call it Art Walk? Do you call it
Friday? This is Art Walk.
Yeah. The Coeur d'Alene Art Walk. And both Coeur d'Alene and Spokane Art Walks are going on tonight, and nearly every gallery adheres to hours like that, like from 5 to 8. Some have music, many have refreshments and things like that. And so from 5 to 8 at the Art Spirit Gallery on Sherman Avenue, and then the 1 o'clock event tomorrow. And then the show will be up for how long?
The show will come down on Friday, February 2nd in the evening. Normally we take our shows down on Saturday, but we've got some painting to do.
Okay, so yeah, it'll be a fairly relatively short run,
right,
on this show, which will be up. Blair Williams, the owner of the Art Spirit Gallery, thank you. And certainly thank you for your deep involvement, Brandon Rudd.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
And as always, I think we should give Harold the last word.
The act of making something is more important than the product you got. The real value of art is the making of it. I go crazy if I don't that.
So Harold would say, go out and make something.